The scripture reading for today comes from the book of Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10. That's Ezekiel chapter 30, I said 31, I believe. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 10. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 10, which can be found in the Old Testament on page 806 in the Pew Bible. Listen now to God's word to you today. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a mass multitude." Here ends the reading of the first scripture.
Second scripture comes from Romans, Paul's letter to the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and then we'll go chapter 8, verses 24 through 25. So starting in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." And now chapter 8. Verses 24 and 25. "For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This is the word of the Lord."
For me, preaching comes hard, actually, but that's irrelevant except to say that I am always delighted when I get to preach here. You're a very special congregation. I've gotten to try to visit many of the churches in Donegal Presbytery, being new to this presbytery, and enjoy many of them. They're excellent, but you are very, very special. And don't tell your pastor I said this, but you have an outstanding pastor. It seems to me he's just human enough to make him very approachable and accessible and close enough to the Lord to make us want to approach and take advantage of what God does through him. And thank you, choir. They never go away humming my message. So I'm grateful for what you offer to us. When I retired, I took off my watch, and for your sake, I put it back on again, because that might give you hope. Unfortunately, I will now ignore it, but nevertheless, pray with me. Father, we're all here hoping. Some are hoping I'll be brief. Most are hoping that it'll be good. I sure do. But most of all, Lord, teach us to hope in you and thus underneath have that solid rock. In Jesus' name, now open your word. Amen. The headline struck me when it said, there's a lethal absence of hope. It's actually referring to the ministry of a chaplain in California that works with gang members and found that it's a continuous cycle that leads to early death because there's no place for them to go. So he has tried to create something like that, Father Boyle, with Homeboy Industries. Another article not long ago in the paper, similar theme, our expected length of life, despite all the medical advances and all the stuff going on that's positive right now, actually has been reduced by a slight amount. And the researcher posited that he felt that it probably was because so many, especially young people and men who tend to then die early, are hopeless. And it seemed to me then, if I wondered what to preach about, that we ought to lift up again the message of hope with which we cope. Now, to use an artificial distinction, I realize, but nevertheless maybe one that's helpful, often we'll say, well, how you doing? Well, I'm hoping to get on. How's your finances coming? Well, I'm hoping I'm going to have enough. Well, what was the sermon like? Well, I was hoping that, well, we won't go to that one. But you get the idea that it's more a wish than a confidence. And so one theologian, not completely accurately, I know, but you get the point, I think you'll see, suggested that instead of hope as a verb, I'm hoping that everything will be okay, the Bible uses hope as a noun, an assurance. It's a positive expectation of the power of God for us, a positive expectation, a confidence of the power of God for us. And in that sense, hope is a noun. Now endure faith, hope, and love, these three. And that's the kind of hope that we need with which to cope. And it's the power of God at work. A wonderful instance of this recorded in inspired scripture for us is the story of Ezekiel, where he has a vision of the valley of the dried bones. The context is that Israel had been totally defeated. The capital was sacked, the temple was gone, the people had been taken, the leaders away in captivity. Israel as a nation was dead as a doornail. And so he has this envision of the wounded soldiers and armies laying in the desert so dead that it's their bones that are showing in the desert. You've seen Wild Western movies on TV that have that kind of scene. All that's there is the tumbleweeds in our scenes. That's how dead as a doornail they were. Helpless, hopeless. But the prophet is told to preach to those bones. And as he preaches to the bones, they begin to form again. And the bones come together and form a skeleton. And on the skeleton, it's fleshed out. And then the prophet is told, after being asked, will these bones live? And he says, trying to avoid the answer, well, you know, Lord. And he's told, preach to them. And now call for the Spirit. The wind is the Spirit, of course, as you know in the Old Testament. And the Spirit comes and fills them. And they have life again. And so the idea is that even when life has been so difficult, that death has come, that there is hope, that God's Spirit is at work to build us up. Some of us, as old as I am, even remember a contemporary music song of 100 years ago, practically, about the dry bones, them bones, gonna walk around them bones, he bone connected to the thigh bone and all that. And I won't sing anymore because the choir get up and leave. But kind of trying to capture that story and reminding us that, yes, terrible things happen. Jesus was crucified. But that's not the end of the story. There's hope to cope. Most of my time as a pastor was spent as a lead pastor at the Wallingford Presbyterian Church over in Delaware County, not too far from here. And they recently celebrated their 125th anniversary and invited me back and invited my former associates back and invited our church custodian back to preach on various Sundays. Now, why would they invite a church custodian, you're asking, or even if you're not asking, I'm going to answer. And what happened was that our church had become very involved in helping a rescue mission in Chester called City Team to begin and then to continue, and got quite involved and committed to it. Often their graduation ceremonies were at our church there. And he had gone into that program having literally lost everything because of his addiction. He lost his money. He had quite a bit at one point. He lost his job. He lost his wife. He lost his kids. They had to cut him off. He lost his reputation. He lost his parents. They had to cut him off. He had nothing. Valley of the Dry Bones. And City Team got hold of him, took him in. He was there for a couple years. He affirmed again his faith in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and built on that rock. He started studying God's Word and learning to live it. And then one day at a time, sobriety, one day at a time, working the program. And finally he graduated. But with his record, it was difficult to find employment. He desired to serve God in the church, so he said, "How about if I become your custodian?" And so we hired him as our custodian. He would work, and then at night, after I'd gone home, he would go into my library and start reading my books, getting his own seminary education. He started a small group of men that graduated from the program, a discipleship group, to help them continue in Christ and on the road of sobriety that has to be lived one day at a time in those circumstances. He joined our church. He became a deacon. And then City Team has a number of centers. It actually began in California. It has a major center there, several major centers there. When one of those centers needed a new director, they called him to come, and he's served there now several decades. He's just ready to retire and earned various certifications in addictions counseling and so on. Here is someone who had been dead and was made alive. He was helpless, seemingly hopeless. And here he was, sharing in a number of megachurches when he'd be asked to be guest speaker about the mission, the hope of Christ, and also with individuals lost in addiction. And that's the possibility. Blessed be our Lord Jesus Christ, for by his mercy, God has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, some of you are hoping I'll stop here. You hear the power of God gives us that positive expectation. And faith is not so much what God can do. Faith is what God will do. And that's why we have the biblical examples to encourage us. A resurrection from the dead. But unfortunately, I'm going to dash your hopes about ending here. I'm going to go on and fill it out just a little bit more with some things that maybe you'll choose to take away. The first looks at the scripture when it talks about, now in hope we are saved. Now, if we hope for what is seen, that is not hope, for who hopes for what is already there? But we hope for that which is not yet seen and await it patiently. First is the perseverance that comes with hope. That hope is a way that we build a bridge from where we are, which may not be a very good place, the difficulties, the disasters that come in life, to our destiny that God has intended for us, and at least the glory of God at the end. And so that perseverance that helps us, it's hope that kind of keeps us going to hold out, to hold on as we go, much as did our Savior. And then in the other passage, it talks about the sufferings which lead to perseverance, which leads to character, which leads to hope, which is a hope that the old translation, for which we will not be ashamed, that does not disappoint us, is the new translation. The word for the sufferings is thlipsis, and it means pressure that pushes us, that we have to start hoping, because we're going to have to get through that dark desert and draw on God's Spirit. The next word is hupomanimai, which is the perseverance. And that's the idea of the strength that God gives us to keep going because we have a destination in view. A football player at a summer practice hates it. It's sweaty, it's hot, it's dirty, it's difficult, but it has an objective in mind, and that helps get us through. Sometimes, as parents, when our girls, who've come out so well thanks to their mother, were teenagers, we needed a lot of perseverance to get on through. Someone had a death in the family and was told, well, I guess sorrow colors your life right now, but responded according to the story, but I get to choose the colors. The perseverance. And the last is dakami, which is the character, translated character, that develops out of this, that it's hope that hones our faith and who we are. And the image there is a metal being purified. And you've heard preachers preach on this a lot, justifiably, that the metal is smelted so that the impurities are taken away. And only the pure, the sterling silver, the pure remains. And the old illustration is, until the master can look and see the image of the master in it. And that produces hope, which does not disappoint us. It's a journey that comes and grows and enables us. So perseverance is the first. The second is the perspective that we take, that we are taught we may be helpless at some point, but we can go further. There's more to the story. The book of Revelation in the Bible was written for Christians who were undergoing intense persecution by the Roman Empire and emperor. This great power was against them. What hope did they have? And so a vision is given of what will be. And at this moment, that power may be in control, but in the end, a glorious life with no more sorrow, no more crying, neither is there any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And there's a glorious vision beyond our ability to comprehend, so symbols are given of what will be. And when we have that kind of perspective, then we're able to go on. Especially a perspective that thinks outside of the box. Some years ago, a psychologist speaking in Philadelphia, I believe his name is, of all things, Shlomo Brezhnev from Israel, was talking about the difference between being helpless and being hopeless, and gave the illustration of 7-year-old boys that were put in this hypothetical situation where they're lost in the forest, and what are they going to do? And one might say, well, I'll climb a tree and look and find the way. I'll call out to somebody and they'll come for me. But everything they proposed was shot down. Anything they said, nope, that won't work, you can't do that, and told why. And finally, he said, some would despair, which literally means unhope, and not hope, is the derivation of despair. Some would despair and give up, but others would say, thinking outside the box, totally unrealistic, well, I'll just wait then till my daddy finds me. And there's a truth in that, especially for us. At the end, the third point, perspective makes us realize the presence that's with us. When you've gone through hard times, so often, if the right person is with you, it's made all the difference. Not sure how I would have made it without my spouse, how I would have made it without some Christian brothers and sisters that, as a pastor, I'd meet with once a week, and when I was still practicing that, and we would share our difficulties, our challenges, our successes, few though they may be. When the right person is with you, and our Lord is always with you, the Bible is clear that hope is in God. All other sources are sinking sand. That's the solid rock. And so hope is rarely mentioned as the word in the Gospels because Christ is with them. But Paul in the epistles, it's written about all the time. And it's a hope that does not disappoint us. My main task in Florida at a rather large church was especially pastoral care and congregational care. And so I was visiting with a teenager that I'd gotten to know well in our congregation. in Tampa, Florida, in the Children's Hospital. She was due to have surgery for an open heart, and opening in her heart. You know what I'm trying to say, even though the words got garbled up there. And it happened, I came around dinner time, because I've learned people who are in the room at that time, not out getting tests, and her family had just walked out to have some dinner. She was going to have this major surgery the next day, and I was told that her life would definitely be in jeopardy. And so I sat with Ashley, and by permission I share her testimony, and I sat with her and said, Ashley, now I'm going to pray for you. I want to pray for you before you have the surgery tomorrow. But before I do, I'd like to know what you're experiencing. What's it like for you? How are you doing with this? I'm told this is a serious thing you're going to have. And she kind of smiled at me. Here I'm this old guy, and this teenager smiled at me. She kind of smiles at me, and she says, well, Pastor, it's like this. The Lord is my Savior, and so if God calls me home, that'll be better. That'll be good. But if God chooses to leave me here, and I think that's probably what's going to happen, then God has a purpose for my life, and it'll be up to me to live it out. But either way, I'm trusting in the Lord. In hope, we are saved. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Share that hope. Amen.